What would it mean if a computer could do your research and writing for you, something for your boss or for school or for a work report? What would it mean if it could instantly paint anything you wanted in any style and print it? Well, that is possible now.
DALL-E 2 is a new AI system from OpenAI that can take simple text descriptions like a koala dunking a basketball and turn them into photorealistic images that have never existed before.
We have questions. And on this week's Tech Talk, Boston Globe technology writer Hiawatha Bray is here to help us out. Hiawatha, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So this is one of those times, Hiawatha, where I feel like the first question is, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the first question is what? Well, yeah, I mean, basically what we've got here is one of the most impressive applications yet of artificial intelligence. What happened is, and I think it was about 2015, this organization was formed called OpenAI. It's largely founded and funded by Elon Musk, who we all know and love. And, you know, he's trying to launch rockets into space and give us electric cars. But this is one of the most interesting moonshots he has in mind. He is trying to build not just artificial intelligence, but what's known as artificial general intelligence, AGI. And that's the scientist's term for basically a computer that really can think like a human being. I mean, it isn't just feeding back the stuff we give it, but it's capable of being original and creating new stuff. Well, I grieve to inform you that they haven't gotten there yet. But when you see what's going on with DALL-E and with another product that I've tested out called Paragraph AI, it really is quite stunning how far they've gotten.
All right. So describe Paragraph AI for people so that they've got the full picture of what we're talking about.
Okay, well, I should begin by telling you that both of these are based on the same artificial intelligence program. It's called GPT-3. Okay. And it does give you an idea of how versatile it is because the same program can be implemented to generate text automatically or to generate pictures automatically. They fed it with billions and billions of samples of human writing, and they fed it with billions and billions of samples of human art with captions to describe the art. Now, with this program, you can sit down in front of DALL-E, and anybody can do this, by the way. It's free. At least testing is free. You can generate, I think, like your first 50 images are free. And you go there, and you describe in detail the kind of thing you want a picture of. I created a picture. I wanted to do one in the style of Rembrandt, showing a black man holding his son with indirect warm lighting. And what it produced looked like it could be hanging in the Louvre. But if I had told it to do the same thing in the style of Vincent van Gogh, it would know how to do that. If I told it to do the same thing in the style of, well, I guess you couldn't say Piet Mondrian because he didn't paint people, he painted lines. Hmm. But you know what? You pick the artist, you pick the lighting, you pick the resolution, and it's how you write your commands. It's like the artists of the future will not have to know how to paint. They will sit down and they will type out a list of words and it'll produce a picture that will measure up to what you seem to be asking for.
So when I looked, it was also good, and this was concerning, at producing photorealistic pictures. I mean, some of these looked like photographs, you know, that a koala dunking a basketball, but it actually looks like it looks like a deep fake.
Absolutely. It is capable of doing that. You can make it look like photorealism. You can make it look like the work of a particular artist. You can also, once you have gotten this, you can continue to edit it over and over, make changes to it, modify it, and it listens to what it thinks you want based on years and years of data, well, thousands of years of data that it's collected and is analyzing. And the results are startlingly attractive and visually impressive.
All right.
And then on the flip side...
No, go.
No, I was going to talk about Paragraph AI.
Yeah.
It uses the same technology. Paragraph AI is based in Canada and in Cambridge. It's co-founded by a young man who's currently a graduate student at MIT. And basically, it lets you type up to 400 characters describing the kind of document you would like. Like you can say, send an email to my boss telling them that I'm not going to be in the office today, something like that. And it will generate a much more eloquent, well-written, grammatically correct version of what you just said. And with any details that you want to plug in, it can subsequently put them in. But also, you can tell it to be funny, or you can tell it to be serious. You can tell it to have a casual tone or more of a somber tone. There are all kinds of things you can do to change the way it writes about a given subject.
What keeps a high schooler from saying, I need 800 words on the Spanish Civil War? Give it to me.
It can be used for things like that. Exactly. You could tell it, give me 800 words on the Spanish Civil War, and it would give you 800 words on the Spanish Civil War.
Hi, how's anyone ever going to learn anything if they can submit all their homework through general AI? Is that what you called it?
It does pose that risk. It absolutely poses that risk. And I'm not sure how you could completely eliminate it. It also poses the risk of creating highly realistic pictures of things that absolutely
didn't happen.
Absolutely. This is something we've already been looking at with the whole deepfake phenomenon. And now it's becoming really almost trivialized, because here's the thing these guys are doing. They want other people to use it. It's not under wraps. It's not in secret. They've taken some criticism for this. People will say, you really shouldn't put this out in the world where people can use it to do all kinds of nefarious things. Well, it's too late now, especially with DALL-E, I should say. And there are now already at least two other organizations that have done the same thing. They have set up their AIs, and if DALL-E stopped doing it, they would continue to do it and start letting you go in. And in fact, one of them, I wish I could remember the name of it, a guy created a work of art using one of these other alternatives that actually won an art competition. It was given first prize. And that's part of what makes this so interesting. You or I get to keep whatever we make. They are not exercising any intellectual property control. If you generate a picture, or if you generated a poem inside Paragraph AI, it is yours to do with as you please. And so people are going to start trying to see if they can commercialize this. And it's going to just cause a huge expansion of the use of this kind of technology. And I'm not sure we're ready for it. But on the other hand, I'm not sure it's the end of the world either.
So, of course, you and I often have a conversation where I'm saying, it's the end of the world. And you're saying, no, not so fast. It's not necessarily the end of the world. But I go ahead.
I was just going to say, DALL-E has some limitations. For example, it's really not that great with faces. And you really have to do a lot of work to get the faces looking well. Sometimes faces look positively grotesque. Another thing I wanted to mention about it is that it knows so much. I'll give you an example. I grew up in Chicago. In Chicago, there's this traditional parade, this black community parade called the Bud Billiken Parade. And I said, show me the Bud, create me a picture of the Bud Billiken Parade. And it wasn't perfect. It wasn't exact. But it knew about Chicago. It got the look of the city right. The buildings in the background look like Chicago. It was on the correct street where the parade happened, this big, broad boulevard, because this computer knows what the Bud Billiken Parade is. It knows where it takes place. And it just, without my having to tell it all this stuff, it made the picture look pretty darn good.
Now, on the Paragraph AI side, one of the things that happened, if I understood your article right, is the data had only been fed in through 2020. So you put it in information asking for a paragraph, and it was a hot mess because it didn't know the latest information.
I asked it about Elon Musk buying Twitter, and it said Elon Musk bought Twitter in 2013, and it basically just made it up because it did not know about Elon Musk buying Twitter this year. If you're asking it to tell you about current events, it is often going to get things completely wrong. But I didn't ask it any questions about, I don't know, the Ottoman Empire or something. But there's a good chance that the information in there would actually be very accurate, because anything farther back than about 2020, it has been fed into this machine. And so it probably knows it. And that's another thing about it. It isn't just that it's going to be able to write for you. It could almost do your homework because it knows the answers to a lot of this stuff. It's not just the quality of the prose. It's the fact that it will get the facts right because it's been programmed with the facts.
So again, as a former professor, right, how is that not deeply, deeply problematic? Because isn't the way we learn by having to gather, understand and assimilate facts and form opinions on them for ourselves?
You're not going to get any argument with me. This could very easily be abused. That's absolutely true. But it's almost really, it's just another form of plagiarism. But it's almost like a much more granular kind of plagiarism. You don't have to go looking for somebody, for something that somebody else has already written on this subject and then cut and paste. Instead, you could just tell the computer, make something up for me about X, Y, or Z, or about the American Civil War. What was the Battle of Antietam really like? And it could just go right ahead and tell you. And not just, you know, the historical detail. You could ask it, what was it really like to fight at Antietam? And it would probably be able to describe some of the memoirs of the soldiers that actually fought there. And it would program that in and give you a sense of the emotions, a sense of the sound and the smell of what it was like. Because you can program all that stuff in by just having it read the memoirs. That's how deep this stuff could get to be. And I can't bring myself to really feel worried about it because it's just too cool. I'm just so impressed by the fact that you can do this stuff.
Which is, again, kind of how you and I tend to bracket this stuff, right? I like channel my inner Luddite and you channel your inner love of innovation. And it's the ultimate is probably somewhere in the middle. Is it at all concerning, though? You've brought up Elon Musk several times. He's a guy everyone's paying attention to right now, and he is certainly currently, if not also in the past, not developing a reputation of having the common good at heart or in mind.
Well, I got to be careful because I'm an Elon Musk fan. I don't think there's any question that in 50 years he's going to be looked at the way we look at Henry Ford or Bill Gates. But that doesn't mean he's perfect, not by any means. He clearly does not know what he's doing at Twitter. It's just been a hot mess. And, you know, but to look at how this ties into OpenAI, look at what's going on with Tesla. I think he's doing some really ethically very problematic things, telling people basically this is a self-driving car and people are getting hurt and in some cases killed, thinking that a Tesla is more advanced than it really is. This is where OpenAI comes in. The more we look at self-driving cars, the more we realize that what we now think of as artificial intelligence may not get us over the hump. We're going to need computers that are incredibly more intelligent than they currently are. And that's what they're trying to build at OpenAI. I bet that this is a lot to do with what he's trying to do with Tesla, because the cars aren't smart enough yet. But you could imagine an OpenAI type vehicle, if they can push it far enough, that really can see the world as clearly as a human can and really will avoid hazards that today's self-driving cars cannot deal with, but that humans can deal with. Classic example, I know how to drive through the snow. Today's self-driving cars have no idea. They can't figure out how to deal with the snow covering the lane markings, and their cameras can't see them anymore. A really, really good artificial intelligence would be able to infer from things like the tire tracks and the distance to the curb and things like that, and still be able to drive in snow. We're nowhere near there yet. That's the kind of stuff they're working on at places like OpenAI. So it's not just going to be parlor tricks. It's going to be attempts to get as close as we can to machines that can really think. Now, then you get into the philosophical debate. Can machines truly think? And the general consensus is probably not. But can we get close enough to let us do some of these amazing things? That's what Musk and, well, he's no longer connected, as I understand it, with OpenAI, but the people who ran OpenAI and who are still at it, that's what they're trying to do. And most of me hopes they succeed, but part of me isn't so sure.
All right, so listen, one more thing on that you kind of bent my brain with, and just quickly, does this mean we might train artists in art schools differently in the future?
Well, yeah, I mentioned that. I mean, I don't know how it's difficult to say. Are we going to stop learning how to paint because instead we will learn how to write our art? Some people will, absolutely. I mean, you're going to see artists who are going to compete. I don't know if anybody's done this yet, but there's going to be a competition here where they're going to ask people to compete by writing out the description and seeing what the AI gives them. But is that going to mean that we're not going to have people anymore going in and learning how to mix paint and all that stuff? I don't think so. I think humans are always going to want to have that sense of the tactile reality of a human hand actually working on a painting, or a human hand in the dark room, or working on Photoshop.
All right. Hiawatha, sorry.
We have to stop?
Yeah, we do.
I'm sorry, because I could keep going on this for a while.
Well, we're going to pick back up next time with Tech Talk. That's Boston Globe technology reporter Hiawatha Bray. Always love learning from you and having you. Thanks, Hiawatha.
Thanks very much.